hate continues to show itself in Boston.
Wearing masks and parading through the streets of downtown Boston, a white supremacist group called Patriot Front made their presence known.
Drag queen story hours targeted.
I'm doing just fine. What I worry about is the kids who were leaving the event who had to walk through that demonstration from this neo-Nazi group.
That sound from CBS Boston and from our show, drag performer Patty Bure, on our show on July 28th. All of it together led Rachel Rollins, United States Attorney for the District of Massachusetts, to create a hotline for people to report hate anonymously. The hotline has been active for just about 2 weeks. Back with us now to tell us how it's going, U.S. Attorney Rachel Rollins. Attorney Rollins, thanks for joining us.
Of course.
How's the hotline going so far?
It's going great. 1-833-END-HATE-NOW, H-8-N-O-W. We've had over 50 calls since we first launched the hotline. Mm-hmm. And we want to encourage people to, if they are, you know, concerned or an act of violence has happened or they're in any danger, they always need to call 911. That's what we want people to know. If they are in fear for their lives or safety, they need to call 911. But there are individuals that might not be comfortable calling about an incident that they personally experienced that they believe might be a hate crime or concerns that they might have about a loved one that has espoused an ideology that's troubling and maybe is now talking about threats or acts of violence against themselves or others. That's what the 1-833-END-HATE-NOW line is for. And we've had a really robust response since opening, I believe, on August 3rd.
What types of calls have you been getting on that line?
So we get individuals. I want to be clear. There are certainly some people that have taken the time to call to say that they're not happy that the line is set up. But overall, we get individuals that are calling concerned about things that they've witnessed, either acts of vandalism using hateful language, targeting, for example, let's say the LGBTQ community, or, you know, incidents targeting the Jewish community or the Black community or some other protected community. There are other individuals that have said that, you know, they have been targeted based on their race and they are white. And I have personally started calling back each of the individuals on the line and explaining to them that if they believe a crime happened, they should call 911. And some of the individuals I've spoken to personally, others I've left a message and we're working our way through. But when we do get calls that are concerning, and they all are concerning, obviously, if they're claiming that they were harmed or threatened with harm, we pass those along to law enforcement. And we are really excited about the robust response we've had. There's certainly an appetite for this type of assistance from the federal government. Mm-hmm.
So this is leading you to some good tips that you and law enforcement will be able to follow up on?
Absolutely. And what I want to really do is give a shout out to the FBI, who has exceptional agents and people working at their agency that are, you know, specialize in this type of these types of investigations, as well as local police departments. You know, I work often in my previous role, used to all the time, but now is U.S. Attorney with the Boston Police Department and the Mass State Police, but we have several local police departments that are actively working on making sure that the residents and their communities feel comfortable. And remember, sir, there's the difference between a hate incident and a hate crime. And even if we can't press charges per se, federal charges or state or local charges, the AG or the DA's office, hate incidents are something that law enforcement should be aware of. If there was something that the community found really troubling, you know, we'll give the example of the Pride facility that happened sadly a few weeks ago that was vandalized and targeted, and the language that was spray painted on that work site, because the facility hasn't been built yet, made clear that they wanted to harm, burn, or kill members of the LGBTQ community. Even though we have not made arrests yet in that circumstance, because that obviously rises to the level of a threat, the community is still deeply impacted by the fact that that happened. And it was a hate incident that that law enforcement needs to be aware of, community leaders need to be aware of, so that we can get wraparound services to all the members of that community that had to live through that experience.
Sure. For our listeners, can you define the difference between a hate incident and a hate crime? Is the difference what's prosecutable?
Yes, you are absolutely right. So it is a hate crime requires a criminal act. And remember, espousing an ideology that, you know, may be repugnant to some is not a crime. Essentially, when you are stating your hatred of a group, even though we might, you know, all believe that this is not, you know, appropriate language to be used, it is protected by the First Amendment. When speech becomes a crime is when it crosses into threats, right? So the example that we talked about, sadly, with the Pride facility, when you use words like we're going to burn this down and you know, kill and things like that, that does not leave anything to the imagination. And those can be prosecutable. We recently charged somebody who called and made threats regarding the dictionary, Webster Dictionary company in Massachusetts. The building had to be evacuated, and the individual had been making threats and calls. Although nothing physically happened, those verbal words were enough to cross the line into a crime. A hate incident is something that, you know, for example, somebody screaming a racial slur or something anti-Semitic at somebody, or even, you know, like threaten or making some derogatory statements against individuals that are white. If you are protected by certain categories regarding, you know, the laws that we have in our not only state and federal government. So we would be making sure that an incident was documented or that the police were aware of it, even though they couldn't bring charges, because that impacts community. But individuals can do things like get potentially, you know, go to get a stay away order from somebody. If it's a neighbor that might not involve law enforcement, they can go on their own. If this in things like this have happened more than three times and they have documented it. So there's a lot of information we can be giving to people.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with United States Attorney Rachel Rollins. If you can you tell us, is this type of thing happening online? The incident, the hate incidents, is it happening online, and what can you do to track that?
Absolutely. If you read the news today, actually, there is an article about the fact that Boston Children's Hospital has been receiving some, and these are their words. I read the article just like everyone else today, but threats is what they are saying regarding the transgender health program that they have. And, you know, I need to make clear, people are permitted to agree or disagree, whether it is based in science or not. We are all entitled to our feelings, and we can use appropriate channels to make it known that we disagree with things. But when it crosses into the level of threats, that is when we are potentially going to have a law enforcement response to this incident. And we have seen people threatening online. We have heard about incidents, for example, sir, at UMass Amherst over the last several months, and maybe even over the last year, of people, African-American, Black students, receiving emails or messages that are disparaging and hateful. Whether those raise to the level of a crime or not is a legal question. But when, you know, individuals are receiving that, how are, you know, the university has to respond in a way that is helpful to all of their students, right? So whether there are crimes committed or whether there are violations of administrative you know, policies or procedures or student handbook rules. Those are all different levels of inquiry that maybe the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office won't be involved in, or a DA's office or the AG if it's an administrative, you know, or student handbook violation. Mm-hmm. But students are still feeling harmed when things like that happen. Boston Children's Hospital is still feeling fear when they are engaging in providing, you know, health care to all children, including transgender children, and allowing them to be their authentic selves and supporting them on their journey with, you know, a guardian or a parent that is actively involved and supportive.
How is the hotline helping you to uncover these hate group members without infringing on their protected rights? You mentioned the First Amendment. Yep. As repugnant as some of these messages are, they do have First Amendment rights. And a lot of these groups seem to be pushing the envelope just to the edge. How do you make sure they don't step over that line?
No, it's a great question. And, you know, we have tip lines for everything, right? With violent crime, we tell people to drop a dime all the time, right? That rhyme was mine. I don't think they do that on their own. But like literally, there are tips lines that the Boston Police Department has had for years and years and years. The FBI has 1-800-CALL-FBI for any tip or any information that they think that you think the FBI might need to know. This is simply the same exact opportunity, but when it comes to hate. And we made it clear, you know, in my press release about the number, we are interested in concerning or troubling incidents of hate, potential hate crimes, or concerns regarding individuals believed to be espousing hate-filled views or actions. And then I went on to say that we learned far too often in the wake of mass shootings and or acts of hate-based violent extremism. So, sir, for example, when we hear after an incident that, oh, wow, he uploaded a video of himself, you know, a cartoon video of himself shooting up a school, or when asked what he was going to do for the summer, he said a murder-suicide, and, you know, ultimately the police were involved and he spent 2 days in a mental health facility and his parents still purchased firearms for him after the fact. Those are all relevant things that maybe possibly law enforcement might not have known about with respect to the video. Mm-hmm. But if you were in that private chat room and didn't know that individual or saw something concerning, that is the type of thing. If they said something about, look, I want to kill or I want to harm or I'm thinking about doing something like this to insert a protected group, irrespective of color at all. And I want to be clear, this does not only this applies to anyone, any race, color, religion, national origin, sexual orientation, gender identity, or disability. Anyone. This is not only exclusive Black or Brown or Jewish. It's protecting everyone.
Okay. United States Attorney Rachel Rollins, thanks for joining us today. I'm going to mention that number one more time, and it will be on our website, radioboston.org. The number is 1-833-END-HATE-NOW. Rachel Rollins, thanks for joining us today.
Be well.